Welcome to the Jesus Image Podcast.
God is wanting to take us in to a deeper place with Him. And so often when we go into these depths with Jesus, we want to go back to what we're familiar with, what we're comfortable with, the things that were easy, and sometimes staying bound is easier than reaching out for freedom. Sometimes it's easier to stay in what we were comfortable with to actually fight through believing that there is something greater ahead for us. And there's something so beautiful for this church. There's something so beautiful for our walk with God, and that's what I really want to teach about today. So if you will go to Exodus 13, I'm going to start reading from verse 17 through 18. And by the way, happy Mother's Day, all you amazing moms. You make the world go round. The greatest honor in the world is to be a mother. It really is. And thank you to my kids. One of them is on camera, the one who made me a mother. He's probably hiding, but it's okay. Exodus 13, 17 through 18. It says, when Pharaoh finally let the people go, listen to this. God did not lead them along the main road that runs through Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. God said, if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led them into a roundabout way through the wilderness towards the Red Sea. Thus the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. See, sometimes the Lord will take you through a way that you can handle because He doesn't want you to run back to what He's bringing you out of. And sometimes the longer way is the better way. We like to fast track what the Lord is doing in us. We want everything just to happen right away. We live in a time where we can get our food just by hitting something on our phone. We don't know patience anymore. And patience is a holy, holy thing that I believe the Lord is introducing back into the church in this hour. To wait on Him, to be faithful, steadfast, to not leave your post, to stand believing God's promises are gonna come true. But see, if they went the way where the Philistines were, the Lord knew that they would not be able to handle the battle yet faced before them. So He knew, I'm gonna take them the longer route so they can build more endurance, increase their capacity, so that when they have these battles, they are ready to fight the battles in front of them. Because I hate to tell you this, there's always gonna be battles. It's never gonna be easy. It's never gonna be fast-tracked. Nothing good comes easy. There's a cost to following Jesus. There's a cost to giving Him your everything. And the Lord will give us what we can handle. The Bible's so clear. He will not give us what we can't handle. And the Lord's so faithful. So if the Lord is taking you through a season where you're going, okay, Lord, why is this taking so long? I want the fast way. Know that there is protection in the long way with Jesus. This is the way that of the cross. This is the way we need to follow. For example, I felt to share this morning. Jesus' image did not come fast. Many of you guys are probably new to Jesus' image or maybe even following the ministry for a few years, but what so many people don't know is this has been years and years and years of faithfulness, trusting the Lord. None of this fell into our lap. This didn't come easy. I remember many people would say, you grew up in big ministry, it would have been so much easier if everything was passed down to you. But for whatever reason, the Lord wanted us to plow it all on our own. And it's so much better that way. Amen? You guys awake? It's so much better that way. Because there's longevity in that. It builds endurance. It builds character. It builds faith in Jesus. It's one thing to lean on the faith of your family, but to lean on the faith for your own self is totally different. It actually is true faith. It's one thing to say, I saw so-and-so do it. But all of us, one day are gonna have to lean on God for our own dependency on Him, our own faith. And I'm so glad I think about that all the time, babe, how we did not, nothing just fell in our lap. But now we can look around and say, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. We know through Exodus, the Egyptians started to pursue the Israelites And it says that it was the Lord who caused them to chase the Israelites. Go to Exodus 14, 13 through 14. It says, "But Moses told the people, 'Don't be afraid, just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord himself will fight for you.'" Listen, just stay calm. The Lord is wanting to build trust with us. It's one thing to say, "I trust the Lord," but we realize, do we really trust the Lord when we're faced with battles that we don't know how we're going to overcome? That's when true trust comes. And I love how the Lord says, just stand still. Like, you don't have to try to get the courage to fight back. Just stand still and watch the Lord deliver you out of Egypt. We're coming out of Egypt, church. We're coming out of a season where the Lord is so going to mark us with his glory. And I love that side of Jesus, and how often I needed this verse for me, because I'm not the kind that likes to stand still. I like to make things happen. But the greatest lesson that the Lord has taught me the last maybe few years of my life is just stand still and cling to me. Everything will be okay if you just trust me. And some of us have a hard time even trusting anyone because the sources we don't trust our Father in heaven who loves us so much. And if you can't trust God, who can you trust? Who can you trust? So stay calm. And I love the fact that the Lord, he was the one that caused the Egyptians' hearts to harden. He's the one that caused them to chase them so he could wipe out the enemy in their life forever. Without the chase, those enemies would still keep going after the Israelites, but the Lord knew what he was doing. With every step, every path, the Lord knew, and he was faithful. That's all you have to do is stay calm. You say, "That's it, Jess, that's it." Trust the Lord. He will pull you out of anything, amen? But Moses, so if you panic, you're in good company. Moses didn't do that. He panicked. If you go to Exodus 14, 15 through 16, it said, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me?'" I love the sight of God. "Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water so that the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on the dry ground." Don't you love that sight of the Lord? He's like, "You already know what to do. Stop begging. Stop crying out. It's time for you to actually move and walk into the promises I have for you." Those promises were there. They didn't change. But Moses had to be reminded, get up and get moving. Sometimes we're waiting for things to fall in our lap, but the Lord is waiting on you to move. He's waiting on you to be faithful. He's waiting on your obedience. Will you do what I've called you to do? I love that Moses had to lift up his staff. There was something so significant in that. He had to actually get up and get moving. The Lord didn't just say, "Just stand there, Moses, and let me act." He was like, no. You do have to be still in the spirit, as we just read about. There is a stillness in the spirit that is holy, where the Lord wants to see you be still and rest in him so that he can lead you. But then when it's time to get moving, it's actually disobedience just to stand still and not actually move. And how do we know this? It's the Holy Spirit. You can't know how you're being led if you're not clinging to Jesus. As long as you're clinging to Jesus, I tell this to our students at Jesus School all the time, as long as you're clinging to him, you will not miss the will of God in your life. He's a good father. He's not going to lead you in the wrong direction. He's too faithful, too righteous for that. But you have to stay clinging to him and not get in the way. And not let fear. The Bible doesn't say Moses was in fear here, so we don't know, so I'm not even going to try to say, but you know that here the Lord's telling him, get up and get moving. Something happens to us when we feel overwhelmed with fear. What we want to do is we want to retreat. We want to hide. we get frozen almost inside. I don't know if that's just me, but anyone else has, you get frozen sometimes, like I can't even think straight and function. And that's when the Lord is saying, I already told you what to do. The path is all laid out ahead of you. Just trust me and get going. Everything else will work out. Without the movement, the sea is not split. We see this also when they were carrying the ark through the water. As soon as the priest's feet touched the ground, that's when the waters parted. It didn't part before the feet. It parted as soon as the feet went down on the ground. There's something about going and when God says go. It shows your obedience, which is everything to the Lord, everything. We will all have a wilderness season, but it grows us. Who feels like they're in a wilderness season right now? Raise your hand. Pretty much most of the church, yeah. The wilderness season's holy. Don't rush it. Like Michael used to always say for years, there goes my flowers. He said, it's heaven in the hallway. There's beauty in the seasons of waiting. There's beauty in these seasons of not knowing what the future holds. That's true trust in the Lord. I don't want everything figured out for me. All I know is I'm following Jesus. That's good enough for me. I don't know what 5 years is going to look like. I don't know what tomorrow is going to look like. But I know that as long as I'm following God, everything in my future is going to be okay. That's what I know. As long as my kids and us are following God and Michael, I know my family's going to be okay. That gives me peace. I don't need it all planned out for me. I don't have a 5-year plan, 10-year plan, 20-year plan. I just want to know that I'm still in love with Jesus. That's my plan. That I love him more in 20 years than I do today. That's my plan. That's my goal. There's beauty in that. So don't fast track the wilderness season. It grows you. We wouldn't be here today, Michael and I, if we didn't have many seasons of being in the wilderness. It built our endurance to be faithful to the Lord. And I'm sure we'll have many more. Exodus 16, 2 through 4. It says, there too, the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt. Look at all the Lord had done for them to this point. Now they're wanting to be killed back in Egypt, they moaned. There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into the wilderness to starve us all to death. Then the Lord said to Moses, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. When you don't realize what God is calling you into, you will continue to get tested over and over and over again. They had a trust issue here. Here the Lord brought them out of Egypt, displayed his mighty power in so many ways with the Egyptians. They saw the mighty hand of God move on their behalf. And here, just a moment in the wilderness, they're wanting to go back to what they came from. And here the Lord is saying, I'm gonna give them what they need because he's so merciful, but I'm gonna test them to see if they follow me. If you're going around a circle, it could be that God is still testing you because you are not quite passing the test set before you. You have to pass the test. He won't trust you with more until you pass the test. It's not the easiest way, but it's the way of God. There's so many times that we've walked through fire and all kinds of things for years. And I always, me and Michael have come before the Lord and we're like, this is a test, we have to pass it. Getting it wrong is not an option. Even if passing it means going the lowly route or looking like a fool or whatever God is asking of us in that season, the main goal is passing the test, not worrying about what other people think. It's being faithful to the Lord. Because often the tests that God sets before us, the holy ones, you will be mocked. You won't, the world's ways do not understand the ways of God. They're not the same. So often going this way with Jesus will be misunderstood by the masses. But it's okay, we please him and him alone, amen? He's the one we fear, not man. It's Jesus. Realize who God is and watch your heart in the wilderness season. I really felt that so strong. This I preach to myself a lot, but I felt this for all of us. Watch your heart. Don't get weary and tired and want to quit in the season of wilderness. That's when God is testing you. He's testing your patience. He's testing your faithfulness. He's testing your love. Will you still love me? Will you be faithful to me even when things are not working out exactly the way that you thought they would? Exodus 16, 6 through 8. Says, so Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, by evening you will realize it was the Lord who brought you out of the land in Egypt, of Egypt. In the morning you will see the glory of the Lord because he has heard your complaints. Listen to this, which are against him, not against us. What have we done that you should complain about us? Then Moses added, the Lord will give you meat to eat in the evening and bread to satisfy you in the morning. For he has heard all your complaints against him. What have we done? Yes, your complaints are against the Lord, not against us. Be careful complaining about God's children. Be careful complaining about the house of God. It's his bride. When you complain, you're actually complaining against the Lord. There's a difference between loving truth. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a complaining heart that has issues with everything and everybody. God's house is his. So when we complain, like Moses had to say, you're complaining against me and Aaron, but your complaints are not with us, they're against the Lord. You're not trusting what he's called us into. If they could only understand the glory on the other side of the wilderness. We know that getting to the promised land, it was so much faster than the 40 years that it took them. But they kept having to go around the circle because they did not remain faithful to God. All they had to do was trust him. But they were happier going back to where they were comfortable, where they were slaves and bound. When we do this, what happens? More testing. Go to Psalms 103, 13 through 14. Thanks, Kate. You just gave me a thumbs up. Yay. Okay. I feel encouraged. Thank you. Psalms 106, 13 through 14. What? 106, 13 through 14. It says, yet how quickly they forgot what he had done. They wouldn't wait for his counsel. In the wilderness, their desires ran wild, testing God's patience in that dry wasteland. So many things to unpack here, but it's in that wilderness season that I said earlier we're all going to go through, or maybe we're even going through it right now. But that's where our imaginations get the best of us. Our flesh gets the best of us. Our desire to live outside of God gets the best of us. Right after this passage, that's when they built the golden calf. They created their own image of God. And I love what the Bible says. I can't say it better than what the Bible says. It says, they traded their glorious God for a statue. How quickly they forgot who the Lord was. See, that's what the devil would love to do. He'd love to make you feel defeated. He'd love to make you feel like giving up. He would love you to get weary and tired. He would even love you to treat something holy as common. He would love that. He would love for you to see the promised land as just another day. But see, that's what happens when we get bored, when Jesus isn't enough, when Jesus isn't our all in all, when he's not everything to us, we get bored because our flesh is always wanting something new. Our flesh is always wanting the next thing. Our flesh is always wanting something to wow us, to be entertained. That's why they built this golden calf, because they got impatient. Think of this for a moment. As Moses is in glory with God, they convince one of their leaders, Aaron, who I always crack up how then he blamed them when Moses confronted him, but that's a whole other story. They convince their leader to build them a fake god. And this wasn't a god to, of course they worshiped, but there was such perversion because there is no counterfeit god. We can't construct what we want God to be. He's too holy. And that's what they did in this wilderness season. And I could say, doing ministry school now, running one for 6 years now, I see this all the time. We get bored and we get comfortable. And what do? We try to produce something that God isn't doing in our own works, in our own ability. And that's what they did here with this golden calf. And God is saying, just wait and be faithful. Why have you forgotten all that I have done for you? I think sometimes we need a healthy dose of remembrance. It's often I'll go back and read my old journals from years ago or think about what God has brought me out of. That keeps me faithful and thankful. Losing a thankful heart is a dangerous thing. It's dangerous, my friends. It's so dangerous. When we feel like we've arrived, we're saying we're not dependent on Jesus. Losing gratitude, often bitterness sets into the heart. When bitterness comes, comparison comes, then offense, then deception. By the time you're deceived, you don't even know you're deceived. That's what deception means. And that all starts with an unthankful heart and not remembering what God has done for you. I'll read that part again because I love it so much how the Bible says they traded their glorious God for a statue. Why? Because they were tired of waiting. They didn't see where God was bringing them into. Not only that, they didn't think outside of themselves. They weren't thinking about the future. They weren't thinking about the generations to come. They were thinking about their existence in that moment, and we have to start seeing outside of ourselves. I've said this so many times, but some of us are paving a way, not just for us and our families, but for the generations to come. That's so holy. Go to Exodus 16, 19 through 21. The Lord was testing their obedience here. Then Moses told them, "Do not keep any of it until morning." This is the manna. But some of them didn't listen and kept some of it until morning. But by then it was full of maggots and had a terrible smell. Moses was very angry with them. After this, the people gathered the food morning by morning, each family according to its need. And as the sun became hot, the flakes they had not picked up melted and disappeared. See, what you try to hold on to, when you hold on to something that God has not called you to hold on to, it'll become putrid. All they had to do was obey. And God was giving them more than enough, but he was providing for every family for their individual needs. See, God loves us so much that he wants to bless his church as a whole, but he also takes care of the very needs of all of our families. This is what he was doing here, but they didn't trust him. See, they didn't have the realization that God was a good God. And that term just gets used so freely these days. But they weren't aware that he was going to provide everything they needed. They thought, no, I don't trust him. I don't see him as good. So I'm going to store up more for myself because I don't trust that this God is going to provide for me and my family. But it became rancid when they did that. I love that the Lord had them gather the food, meaning God will provide, but you need to be willing to go pick it up. Pick up what he's already given you. Pick up that calling that he's already given you. Pick it up. If it lays on the ground, it's going to disappear. There's something about taking up that mantle, taking up your calling, taking up what he's already provided for you. It's already done. What you aren't willing to take, it just won't be available. Just give me about 10 more minutes. Exodus 16, 23 through 28. He told them, "This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow will be a day of complete rest, a holy Sabbath day set apart for the Lord. So bake or boil as much as you want today and set aside what is left for tomorrow." So they put some aside until morning, just as Moses had commanded. And in the morning, the leftover food was wholesome and good, without maggots or odor. Moses said, "Eat this food today, for today is a Sabbath day dedicated to the Lord. There will be no food on the ground today. You may gather the food for 6 days, but the seventh day is the Sabbath. There will be no food on the ground that day." Some of the people went out anyways on the seventh day, and they found no food. Shocker. The Lord asked Moses, "How long will these people refuse to obey my commands and instructions?" So many things we could say about that, but what I really want to hit with that passage is when the Lord ask you to follow his leading, he will sustain what would go rancid in the world. So we read before, he said, don't pick it up, and they go, and it's now filled with maggots. But then when he says, give it a day off, rest, provide, get what you need the day before, now the food is still good for them. What am I saying there? Just obey God. You don't have to try to defend yourself and take care of your own needs. I feel like I might be talking to somebody in the room. For those people that are headstrong and don't want to trust people, trust things, that they feel like they have to fend for themselves. Maybe you've had to fend for yourself your whole life, maybe even as a kid. But trust that the Lord is going to provide all you need. The Lord is faithful. You don't have to live that way anymore when you're a Christian. You don't have to live in a system where you feel like you have to protect yourself from everything, even God. When God is for you, no one can be against you. Just trust him. The manna stayed fresh when they obeyed the Lord. Let him lead you. Don't get ahead. He's looking for your obedience. There's protection staying behind Jesus. In front, we are just open to all the attacks of the world. When we're in front, we are a target, a moving target. But when we stay behind him and let him lead us, nothing can touch you. Remember what he did. Go to Exodus 16, 32 through 33. It says, then Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Fill a 2-quart container with manna to preserve it for your descendants. Then later generations will be able to see the food I gave you in the wilderness when I set you free from Egypt." Moses said to Aaron, "Get a jar and fill it with 2 quarts of manna, then put it in a sacred place before the Lord to preserve it for all future generations." Here's my Mother's Day part of the message. Parents, remind your kids what the Lord has done in your life. Here they're doing this because they understood something. There's going to be generations past us that didn't witness what the Lord did when he brought us out of Egypt. We have to make sure they remember what God has done. Parents, you have to make sure, grandparents, that your family remember what the Lord has brought your family out of. Because if not, when you're gone, they'll forget. And I love how we see this all throughout scripture where the Lord is always calling us into remembrance so we don't forget the faithfulness. I often, as you guys know, my dad built this building. I grew up here and saved here, everything. I often look around this building and think of what the Lord has done in my life. Often, I think about when I was running away from the Lord. I think about how I shouldn't be here all these years later. Watching my kids now serve the Lord here, watching families worship God and love to be in His presence. I often think about that I was going a different direction, but through the Lord's faithfulness, here I am today. It's so holy. And if I forgot that, I fear that I would forget who God is in my life. If I forgot all the beautiful things that the Lord has brought me out of, I fear that I would not trust Him and love Him the way I do now. People always ask me, Jess, what's different now? Why do you love the Lord like you do now, but you didn't love Him like this 20 years ago? I said, because He's been so faithful to me. He's forgiven me so much that how can I not serve Him for the rest of my life? But again, if I just forgot that, if I forgot about that, if I didn't hold on to the remembrance of what the Lord has done, I could easily think it had something to do with me. And I think that's why the Lord wanted them to savor these things that He had done, to remember what He brought them out of, so that they could remember it was God's work, not yours. It was His work. And we have to remember that we are set apart and we are not supposed to look like where we came from. As the Israelites wanted to go back to Egypt, that's where they came from. That was their past. But they did not have the endurance or the capacity to trust God to take them into the promised land. That's why that generation wasn't even able to ever go into the promised land, because they were happier being where they came from. And so often in life, it's easier to live in sin and easier to live bound than to actually cling to Jesus and live a righteous life before Him. Leviticus 18, 1 through 5. Then the Lord said to Moses, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. I am the Lord your God, so do not act like the people in Egypt where you used to live, or like the people of Canaan where I am taking you. You must not imitate their way of life. You must obey all my regulations and be careful to obey my decrees. For I am the Lord your God. If you obey my decrees and my regulations, you will find life through them. I am Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I love how the Lord is saying, like I just said, don't try to look like the people of Egypt where you came from, but also don't try to look like the people of Canaan where I'm taking you. You are set apart. See, it's easy to say, I don't want to look like I looked back in the world, but it's something else to say, I don't want to even look like the people that shine and look like they have everything. I want to look like me and Jesus. Does that make sense? Because there's people in the world that look like they have it all together. It might not be Egypt, but we're so set apart that we have to be happy and content with where God is bringing us into. I don't want anything from the world. I don't care how glamorous, how enticing it seems. There's something so much better with Jesus. It really, like sometimes He'll strip you down to the simplicity. And you're like, if I have Jesus, you get to these places in life, and I can't say I always feel this way, but this is what I hope for all the time. If I have Jesus, it really is enough. I don't need anything else. I'm blessed to have a ministry and lead a ministry, but if I have Jesus, I don't even need to depend on that for my identity. Jesus is enough. In closing, go to Psalms 106, 24 through 25. It says, the people refused to enter the pleasant land, for they wouldn't believe His promises to care for them. Instead, they grumbled in their tents and refused to obey the Lord. In Leviticus, the Bible says, He broke the yoke of slavery from their necks so they could walk with their heads up high. See, this is the desire. The Lord is wanting you today to trust him, to know that he won't lead you astray, that he's not going to lead you to a place that you won't flourish, but you're going to have to make a decision in your heart that you're not going back to Egypt. Egypt is not for you anymore. Egypt is for the world. We're called to a higher calling, and this scripture, it blesses me, but it also makes me so sad to know that the people refused to enter because they did not trust the Lord. They didn't believe that he wanted the best thing for them. If you guys could just bow your heads, close your eyes. Just want to pray over you before we take communion. Dear Jesus, we want to trust you, Lord, with all of our hearts, with our life, with our emotions, with our wills, with everything, God. Holy Spirit, I ask that you will make us so aware of how much Jesus loves us. That, Lord, if we have fought you in any way, Lord, if we have refused, Lord, to let you help us come out of the world and help us come out of the ways of the world, Lord, we ask for your forgiveness, Jesus. We want to be faithful. We want to trust you. I feel this really strong for people in the room and maybe watching online. If we don't trust you, Lord, if we have trust issues with you, Jesus, will you forgive us? Will you heal our hearts today, God? We want to trust you fully with our life, God. We want to know that you know the hairs on our heads, so you clearly love us so much, Lord. We want to trust you with our life, with our health, with our marriages, Lord, with our finances, with our children, with our ministries, with our businesses, God, whatever it is that we have, we want to trust you, God, with these things. We don't want to hold anything back from you, God. We don't want to stay in a season, God, when you're calling us into another, Lord. We don't want to stay in a season because of fear, God, where we're afraid to take steps of boldness into the promised land, God, that you have. Give us this righteous boldness, Lord. Give us this trust, this tenacity, God, to follow your leading, even if it's not the path and the direction we feel it should be, God. But we want to trust you fully, God, knowing, like we just read, that you know what's best for us, God. You know what battles we can face. You know even the favor that we can face, God, if we're even ready for that, Lord. You know everything. So I thank you, God, that you will reveal your mighty plans to your church this morning, God, and you will teach us to trust you in every area. For those that are sick in body this morning, God, help them to trust you, God, that you want to heal them because you are healing, God. You are the God that heals. Oh, Jesus, for those that are running from you, God, those wayward children, Lord, the ones watching online right now, let them trust, Lord, that running to you is the best decision they could ever make in their life, Lord. We plead the blood of Jesus over this church this morning. Thank you, God. Soften our hearts to your guidance. In Jesus' mighty name.
If you enjoyed this podcast, you can like and subscribe to help us continue to reach people around the world with the gospel. Give today at jesusimage.tv/give. You can also join us in person or online every Sunday at Jesus Image Church. For more information on Jesus Image, events, Jesus School, and resources, visit jesusimage.tv.